بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we continue our discussion about السلف As-Salih, the righteous and the pious predecessors. And we have seen that the foundation of the Salaf As-Salih and the true Ahl As-Sunnah, they are the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have seen that a companion, he is somebody who met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and believed in him and followed him and died upon al-Islam. And this person here, he is called Sahabi. He is called Sahabiyun. He is a Sahabi. He is a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, we have seen after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions, they carried the sunnah. The companions, they carried the deen and they carried the Quran and the sunnah properly, and they transmitted that through the lands to the people. And there were individuals who met the companions and they believed in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they accepted al-Islam and they followed the teachings of the companions, and they are known as at-tabi'un, the followers of the companions. The followers of the companions, radiallahu anhum jami'an. And they are the students of the companions. And likewise, after the death of the companions, the tabi'un as well, rahimahum Allahu ta'ala, they had great diligence and they were very strong in abiding by the sunnah and carrying the Quran and the sunnah properly and teaching it to the people after them as well. And there were individuals from their generation who believed in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and followed that which the tabi'un were teaching them, from that which they learned from the companions who learned from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are the students of the tabi'in, and they are known as atba'u at-tabi'in, and these are the first three and noble generations, the upright and noble generations of Muslims. And in this time, the transmissions are being narrated and the deen is being clarified and being spread by way of narration. The Quran is being narrated with chains back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, the hadith is being narrated with chains back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this manner. We know the Quran, it goes back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then to Jibreel, and then to Rabbil Izzah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, the hadith, it goes back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, that sunnah is revelation as well, revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we ask a question now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he received revelation. What is the reality of that revelation? Because the people who are upright, they believe in that which is revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. What was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is this? One thing, two things? Two things. What was that? Al-Qur'an and the Sunnah. This is something that has to be clarified and we must remember. The Qur'an and the Sunnah, both of these, they are revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Qur'an is revelation and likewise the Sunnah is revelation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught this revelation. And inside of this revelation, there is legislation. There is sharia, there is commandments and prohibitions, there is halal and haram, there is permissible and impermissible. And likewise, inside of this revelation, there is creed and aqidah, that's the base of it. We understand that? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught the revelation. He taught the Quran and the Sunnah. He taught the creed and the belief. He taught the halal and the haram. He taught the actions of worship and the meanings and the manners and the etiquettes. He taught the transaction, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the companions. And then after that, the companions, they taught their students, the tabi'een and the tabi'un, they taught their students, atba' tabi'een, and the deen that they were upon, and the sunnah that they were upon, and the understanding of the Qur'an and the sunnah that they were upon, this is the good deen. This is the correct Islam. And after them likewise, there's another generation, and they are known as tabi'u atba' tabi'een. Tabi'u atba' tabi'een. Tabi'u atba' tabi'een. They're the students of the atba' tabi'een. And from them are al-a'imma as-sitta. Naam, the six imams from the kutub as-sitta. They are from tabi'u atba' tabi'een. So that we know where we're at. Naam, al-Bukhari and Muslim. And Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi. And Nisa'i ibn Majah. They are from the students of the atba' tabi'een. And in their time, at this time, in the Atba' Tabi'een, and especially in Tabi'u Atba' Tabi'een, the narrations are being collected in a beautiful manner. Being collected and being selected and being identified authentically and unauthentically in this manner. And they're being placed in the books of Hadith in order and in beautiful arrangement. And this time. And this time. Do you understand? Huh? So at this time, the sunnah has been collected. All throughout the time, the companions, some of them wrote the sunnah and the life of the Prophet, but not a lot. And then atba' tabi'een, some of them likewise would write, and they started writing and collecting books, but not that much. And the books that were written about hadith, collecting the narrations, they were written, but not like organized. And the first one to collect the narrations in this manner from the tabi'een was Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. And he died in the year 124. He died in the year 124. But he just collected the narrations and put them together in one place. He didn't put like chapter this and Tahara and Salat all together. But he just collected them. And then after them, in the time of Atba' Tabi'een and the likes, they start collecting books and they start writing books. They start writing books and collecting the narrations and putting the narrations together. Putting the narrations together. This narration is about Tahara. They put them all here in the chapter of Tahara. All these narrations are about Salat. They put them all here in the chapter of Salat. All these narrations here that are about Iman, they put them together like this in Iman. In the chapter of Iman. And like this, they started making tasneef. Tasneef, where they would categorize the issues of the deen and put the narrations that are similar like this in this manner. In this manner. So in this time, likewise, we have seen in the early days of Islam, Islam is spreading all over the lands, and Islam is very, very strong, and many, many people are accepting Islam everywhere the Muslims go, all the way on the east and all the way on the west, and they're going north, Azerbaijan, and like up into the areas of Russia, and they're going all the way to the west, all the way to the ocean, and all the way by Morocco, and they're going all the way up to Spain. They made it all the way up there, Allahu Akbar, and then all the way to the east, all the way around to China. Islam is spreading so much, and so many people are accepting Islam, alhamdulillah, and the sunnah is being spread, and the scholars are striving hard to teach the people the deen in this manner, but many people, they don't like that. And the enemies of Islam, they want to do something to harm the Muslims, and they want to try to stop Islam, but they cannot do that. Huh? They can't do that. They're not strong enough. So what did they start doing? Some of them will act like they're Muslims, but they're not really Muslims. They'll act like they're Muslims, but they're not really Muslims, and they'll start making up creed and making up bad things and saying, this is Islam and that is Islam, to turn the people away from the true deen. Because they realize that their strength and the strength that the Muslims had was been holding fast to the Quran and to the Sunnah, and their strength didn't come from power, but rather it came from Iman and from deen. In this manner like this. So they want to corrupt the Muslims, but they can't do it from the outside. So what do? They come on the inside and try to corrupt. And at this time, the people of innovation became strong. And they started striving to mislead the Muslims. And the likes like this. And many innovations were being introduced into the deen. And introduced into the creed. Even from the time of the companions. The different creeds were being introduced. Like Khawarij. And revolting against the rulers. And the creed about Qadiriyya. Whatever they're claiming that Allah, He doesn't know about the decree, and He doesn't know what's going to happen until it happens. This is what some of the things that they claimed. In any case, we see that innovation has started spreading. At this time, the scholars of hadith, they started to defend the sunnah, and they started to defend the creed, and they started to defend the way of the companions, and that which they learned, and they collected narrations specifically clarifying the affairs of creed. Because these people of innovation, they started making up these false beliefs. And also, whenever the Muslims conquered these other lands, some of them translated the books of the Greeks and the books of these other philosophers. And they translated these books into Arabic. And then some of the Muslims were affected by these other ideologies. And they were affected by philosophy and the likes like this. But the scholars of hadith, they were strong and they were stern. And every time somebody would try to introduce an innovation and a misguided creed, they would stand up and they would refute them. And they would refute them outwardly, and they would refute them, and they would write books, and they would clarify that this is falsehood, and they would clarify the correct creed and the correct deen. And at this time, we see the issue of al-kutub, these specific books, they were written. What are those books known? Kutub al-aqaid al-musnada. Kutub al-aqaid al-musnada. That these are the books about creed and about belief, but they are transmitted with chains. And the way that they established them, there's a camera on. The way that they established them is by writing the chapter title. And then after that, they will mention chains of narrations about that issue. That we believe in this. And they said, because so-and-so narrated to me, many from the tabi'in, and then the tabi'in, and then the companions, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said this. In this manner, the creed was defended and it was established. The creed was defended and it was established. So we have some words here. Kutub. What does that mean? Kutub. Kutub. This is the plural of kitab, right? So we have kitab, it means book, and kutub means books. Aqaid. Al-aqaid. Creeds. Beliefs. We know that there's only one true belief. But here when it's mentioned in plural, referring to the different aspects, we have the belief in Allah, we have the aqidah of the tawheed of Allah, we have the aqidah in the angels, we have aqidah in the messengers, we have aqidah in the books of revelation, we have aqidah in the last day, we have aqidah in belief of the punishment and the delight in the grave, we have the aqidah and the belief that the believers, they will see their Lord in Jannah, may Allah make us from them. We have the aqidah of the hold of the Prophet, may Allah make us from those who drink from it. We have the aqidah of the Jannah and the aqidah of the Nar and the likes like this. So from this aspect, it's plural. But the aqidah that is correct is one. We understand that? Kutub al-aqaid al-musnada. Al-musnada, meaning that they have been narrated with chains. They have been narrated with chains. And having a chain of narration back to a prophet is something that is specific to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Christians, they do not have a chain back to their prophet, and the distance between them and their prophet is a great, 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 great distance. Meaning they have no chain to verify what Isa said. The one who wants to know what Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, then he would have to look into the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to identify the truthfulness of that, because his narrations are the ones that are narrated with chains of authenticity. And likewise, Musa alayhi salam, the Jews, they do not have a chain of narration to verify the statements that their prophets made. But as for the final prophet and the seal of prophets and messengers, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then there are chains of narrations to identify the authenticity of his statements. Which one did he say and which one did he not say? Which one of his ascriptions are true and which ones of the ascriptions to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam are false? This is something specific to the Muslims and to the deen of al-Islam. And this is specific to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is because he is the final messenger. And there is no prophet after him. So therefore, that which he mentioned and that which he stated is from the final revelation. And therefore, his deen is clarified in detail and authenticated properly. And there are proofs and evidences to clarify what he was upon. And with regards to creed, there are specific books. Specific books that have been written and authored in this manner, with chains of narrations back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to clarify what his creed was and what his belief was. And this was made specific in this manner when the people of innovation were striving to corrupt the creed of the Muslims. And they were striving to corrupt the deed from inside. And the people of innovation were spreading falsehood and the likes like this. At this time, the people of the Sunnah, the scholars of Hadith, they had established this issue of authoring works about creed specifically and verifying their positions with chains of narration. With chains of narration back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is that clear? Some of these books we discuss today just so that we are aware of them. Just so that we know about our religion. And we have some insight about these affairs. And if we would like to know what is the correct creed, we have to refer back to these books. First and foremost, we see that the correct creed and belief can be found in Al-Kutub al-Sitta. Again, this is the main source. The Quran, first and foremost, and then the Kutub al-Sitta. The Quran, first and foremost, and then the Kutub al-Sitta. What are Al-Kutub al-Sitta? Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And then Sunan Abi Dawood and Sunan and Jami' and Jami' al-Tirmidhi. And then Sunan al-Nasa'i and then Sunan Ibn Majah. And Sunan Ibn Majah. These are Al-Kutub al-Sitta. And these six great scholars are the authors of Al-Kutub al-Sitta. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Muhammad ibn Ismail, he died in the year 256. And after that, Muslim ibn Hijaj al-Naysaburi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 261. And after that, Abu Dawood, his name is Suleiman ibn Ash'ath, rahimahullah, Abu Dawood, al-Sijistani, he died in the year 275. And after that, At-Tirmidhi, Muhammad ibn Isa, Abu Isa, At-Tirmidhi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 279. And after that, Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, Ahmad ibn Shu'ayb, Abu Abdurrahman, al-Nasa'i, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 303. And after that, Al-Imam ibn Majah, and his Abu Abdullah, Muhammad ibn Yazid, ibn Majah. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. And these are Al-Kutub al-Sitta. And in these books we will find, the deen has been preserved, and the religion has been mentioned and clarified in detail, the creed, and likewise the actions of worship, and likewise the rulings and the regulations. So one of the first places to verify the proper creed and the proper belief is to look in the narrations in Al-Kutub al-Sitta in this manner. Likewise, there's another book that is relied upon, it is Al-Musnad by Al-Imam Ahmad. This makes seven. If we add Al-Musnad by Al-Imam Ahmad, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Abu Abdullah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 241. They have collected the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with great diligence and verification. With great diligence and authentication and verification. And they have transmitted that, alhamdulillah. And these are some of the main sources for identifying the proper creed and the proper belief. This is in general. And likewise, after this as well, all of these books here, Al-Kutub al-Sitta, what are found here? What type of narrations are found here? What type of narrations are found here? Or the majority of the narrations, we know narrations are different type. We have al-hadith al-marfu', we have al-hadith al-maquf, we have al-hadith al-maqtu'. What are the types of narrations found in al-kutub al-sitta? Al-hadith al-marfu'. These books are written specifically about al-hadith al-marfu'. Now, although we might find some maquf'at there, or even sometimes al-maqtu'at, but most of the hadith here are marfu', meaning that the Kutub al-Sitta, they have narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But here, what we're talking about now is that we have to understand our creed and our deen according to the understanding of the Sahaba. So where do we find the statements of the Sahaba at? Radiallahu anhum. If we want to find the statement of the Sahaba or the Tabi'een or Atba' Tabi'een, where will we look? Will we look in the Kutub al-Sitta? No, we wouldn't look in the Kutub al-Sitta for the narrations of the companions or the narrations of the Tabi'een and the Atba' Tabi'een. We wouldn't go there to look for the narrations of the Sahaba in general. Rather, if we go to the Kutub al-Sitta, we're looking for the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are other types of works known as al-musannafat. Al-musannafat. We want to learn about two of them. Two of them. Al-musannafat. One of them is called al-musannif by Ibn Abi Shayba. Abi Bakr Ibn Abi Shayba. And he died in the year 235. Great scholar of hadith. This work right here is very big. Maybe almost 30 volumes or more. And inside of there, he collected similar like Bukhari and Muslim, like chapter all these different chapters about creed and about ibadah and the likes like this. But he didn't mention only the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, he mentioned lots of narrations of the companions and lots of narrations of the tabi'in and the likes like this. So in these types of works at Musannaf, you will find the narrations of the companions and the tabi'in with chains to the scholars of hadith to verify the authenticity. To verify the authenticity, not only of the statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but likewise to verify the authenticity of what is ascribed to the companions and to the tabi'in. These books are called Musannafat. We learn about two of them today. The first one is Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba. He died in the year 235. The second one is Musannaf Abd al-Razzaq al-San'ani. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 211 before him. And the year 211. In the year 211, Abd al-Razzaq al-San'ani. Abd al-Razzaq al-San'ani from Yemen. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. These are called musannafat. In the likes of these books, we'll find the narrations of the companions. And we'll find the narrations of the tabi'in and the likes like this. And what are they narrating? They're narrating their understanding. They'll narrate what they mentioned in the chapter of Tahara, or they mentioned in the chapter of Iman and Aqidah and the likes like this. And they'll mention their understanding and how they understood the narrations. And we'll find these narrations in the likes of these books. There are other books as well. We'll just take a brief introduction into the books of Hadith like this to understand. Naam? Al-Musannafat. Al-Musannafat. What is the difference between, for example, the Sahih Bukhari and Muslim and Sunan Abi Dawood and the likes from these books and from the Musannafat? What is the difference between the Kutub al-Sitta and the Musannafat? Kutub al-Sitta, it has all the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for Musannafat, it has narration of the companions and that's Atba' Tabi'een. Likewise, there's another great, great book of hadith from another imam, from the four imams. His name is Imam Malik. Imam Malik ibn Anas. You know about him? And Imam Malik ibn Anas, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 179. He has a famous, famous book of hadith. It's called Al-Muwatta. It's called Al-Muwatta. Also, you will find the narrations of the tabi'een inside Al-Muwatta and also of the companions as well. But this is with regards to, most of it is with regards to fiqh and understanding of the rulings of the actions of the deen. Of the actions of the deen. So now we have some general idea on where to find the narrations of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. Now, and that is in the Musannafat. Now we go back to our topic, and these are the books that were written specifically. So we see that we have these general books that have been written, and these are with regards to the whole aspect of the deen. If you look inside Bukhari and Muslim, you'll find chapters from every aspect of the deen. If you look inside Sunan al-Arba', you'll find aspects of the rulings of the deen. If you look inside al-Musannafat, likewise you'll find aspects of all aspects of the deen, chapters and narrations with all aspects of the deen. But the scholars of hadith, they have written works specifically on creed. Specifically on creed and about belief. And this is what the people of the Sunnah, they rely upon. Those people who oppose that which is found in these books, in their creed, then they're upon falsehood. They're upon falsehood. We understand that? So between us and between the people of falsehood, and between us and the people of desires, those who differ with the people of the Sunnah, between us and them are these books here. They say they believe in this, and we say we believe in that, and then how are we going to who's going to decide who's right? Who's going to decide who's right? How we learned this last week. If two Muslims differ about creed or about any issue in the deen, he believes that he understands the verse like this, and he understands the verse like that. He understands the hadith like this, and he understands the hadith like that. How are we going to determine who is right? Who has the right understanding? Huh? By the understanding of the companions. So if he understood the understanding of the companions and he didn't, we say he's right. If he understood the understanding of the companions and he didn't, then we say he's right. If neither one of them understood it from the understanding of the companion, what do we say? Both of your understandings are wrong. The rule in this and the judge in this and the criterion in this and the determining factor in this is the one who has the understanding of the companions. Now, with regards to creed, where do we find the understanding of the companions? Kutub al-Aqaid Musnada, the understanding of the companions and the Tabi'een and the likes like this. Any of the scholars of Hadith from the best generations, and from those beneficial books, we have just mentioning them now so that we're aware of them. And inshallah, whenever we get older, as we're studying and we continue to seek knowledge, we'll have a foundation, and we know the sources of our religion. Alhamdulillah, and we know the foundation of our Deen. Alhamdulillah. In this manner, inshallah, we can have insight. We can have basira, and we can have clarity. We can have yaqeen, we can have certainty about what we are upon, and about our belief, and about our creed, and our methodology, and the way that we live life, and the way that we see life. We see life based upon usul, based upon principles, based upon an Islam. The Islam of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not based upon desires. So the first book we have is called Kitabu As-Sunnah. Kitabu As-Sunnah. Kitabu As-Sunnah. The book of As-Sunnah. And we see that the scholars, they are authoring works about what? Creed and belief. Because of how important this affair is, and how many people were opposing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in creed specifically, they called some of their books Sunnah. This is Sunnah. What you're upon is not Sunnah. Your belief like this is Bid'ah. From the Bid'ah, you know what they say? Allah is everywhere. Allah is everywhere. Everywhere. We say that's bid'ah. So now, okay, we're going to write a book of the sunnah then. We're going to have to clarify the sunnah. What are they going to clarify in the sunnah? In the book of the sunnah, that Allah is above His throne in a manner befitting His majesty. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This book is by a man, his name is Abu Bakr. Ahmed ibn Amr ibn Abi Asim. For short, we just remember Kitab al-Sunnah li-Ibn Abi Asim. Ibn Abi Asim. Ibn Abi Asim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 287. A great, great, great book of hadith and book of creed. And we find in these books, they just mention chapters, the names of chapters. And then after that, they mention narrations. And the statements that they have are few. And what they clarify is the proper creed. And they clarify that by way of narration. After that, there is another great imam. He has also a book called Kitab As-Sunnah. It has the same name. The book called As-Sunnah. And this man, he is an imam. The son of an imam. His name is Abdullah ibn al-Imam Ahmed. He is the son of Imam Ahmed. What is Imam Ahmed's kunya? Abu Abdullah. Abu Abdullah. Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, his kunya is Abu Abdullah. His son, Abdullah, he wrote this book here. It's called As-Sunnah. Kitabu As-Sunnah. He died in the year 290. It's a great, 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 great book of hadith and clarification of the proper creed. And likewise, we find in these books here, where the proper creed is clarified, likewise we'll find chapters of refutation. What is refutation? Huh? Refutation is to clarify somebody's wrong. Somebody who's wrong, they have to be refuted. Somebody, for example, he said, Allah is everywhere. We have to refute him. There has to be refutation for this. He has to be clarified. It's called Radd. Huh? Or Rudud. Naam, the clarifications and refutations. So these people of falsehood, they just can't walk around here saying that Allah is everywhere. They can't come in our masjid and be like, Allah is everywhere. Like that. We could never allow some man to come into the masjid and sit down in front of the people on the chair and then start saying, Allah is everywhere. You know where Allah is everywhere, like this, and teaching the people and everything like this, and say, look around, Allah is everywhere because Allah is in this, in the Quran. So, awudhu billah, this person can't do that. We're going to have to refute him. How do we refute him? Calling him names? Huh? How do we refute him? Yelling at him? Huh? That's how the people of falsehood do it, right? Huh? We're going to beat him up? No, that's how the people of falsehood do it. We've seen that in Sirah. What do? We go to them with evidence and proof, stronger than swords, stronger than weapons. We come to them with the Quran and the understanding of the Sahaba. We say, you say that Allah is everywhere. Allah, he says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Ash-Istawa. That Allah, he's above his throne in a manner befitting his majesty. Like this. And we clarify to them the truth. And we clarify to them the truth. And we also clarify their falsehood so that, inshallah, they will repent. And so that the people will not be deceived. So the people of knowledge, they have these books like this, where they clarify the right path. And likewise, they clarify the wrong path. They clarify the correct aqidah. And they clarify in detail and refute the false aqidah. May Allah reward them with the best reward and grant them His pleasure and mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, there's another man, he has another book. This is so easy for us, alhamdulillah. Three books in a row, they all have the same name. Kitab As-Sunnah, but different authors. This one, his name is Al-Khalal. He is famous as Al-Khalal. His name is Abu Bakr, Ahmad ibn Muhammad. And he is known as Al-Khalal. Al-Khalal, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 311. And he's the companion of Imam Ahmad. He was one of the companions of Imam Ahmad, and he is one of those people who narrated the narrations of Imam Ahmad. And he narrated the statements, and he was very diligent in collecting the positions of Imam Ahmad and the creed and the belief, and likewise the madhab of Imam Ahmad, and he narrated that. And likewise, he has this book here called Kitab As-Sunnah. Kitab As-Sunnah by Al-Khalal. Al-Khalal, clarifying the proper creed and the proper belief. The proper creed and the proper belief. After that, we have another great, 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 great book from a great, great, great imam. His name is Ibn Battah. Ibn Battah. Oh, Ibn Battah al-Akburi. Wal-Akburi, rahimahullah ta'ala. His name is Shaykh al-Islam, Abu Abdullah Ubaidillah ibn Muhammad ibn Battah. We just memorized Ibn Battah al-Akburi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 387. 387, 100 years after Ibn Abi Asim. Ibn Abi Asim, and his book is known as Al-Ibana. 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 It has a long name, but we just take it like this, Al-Ibana. Al-Ibana and Shariati al-Firqat al-Najiya wa Mujanabat al-Firaqi al-Mathmuma. And Al-Ibana and Shariati al-Firqat al-Najiya. And this is from, its name is known as Al-Ibana, but after this, like also, there are some books the scholars they authored, they called them As-Sunnah. Other books, they called them As-Sharia, the legislation. As-Sharia, like they called it Sunnah, but it's creed. Also, there are books, they called them As-Sharia, the legislation. But they're referring to here, the creed. From them, Al-Ibana and Shariati Firqat al-Najiya. The clarification of the legislation of the saved sect. Of the saved sect. We know that there are many sects, and all of them are hadika, and they're destroyed. Sects of Muslims, and only one of them is saved, and only one of them is safe. And that's the one that is upon the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were upon. This is a great, great work, clarifying the proper creed and the proper belief. The creed of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, defending that which chains of narration back to the Salaf as-Salih. And likewise, he has a smaller version of that book also. It's called Al-Ibana As-Sughra. So the one I just showed you is Al-Kubra. After that, we have another great, great scholar. Allahu Akbar. Another great scholar. Allahu Akbar. His name is Abu Bakr. Listen, all of their kunya so far is Abu Bakr, Abu Abdullah. This is showing their love for the Sunnah. Huh? Abu Abdullah, Abu Bakr. Like this, and this one, his name is Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn al-Husayn. Who knows his, who's that? Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn al-Husayn al-Ajurri, rahimahullah ta'ala. When did he die? 360, rahimahullah ta'ala. He has a book also called Al-Sharia. He has many, many books. Muhammad ibn al-Husayn al-Ajurri, rahimahullah ta'ala. He has many, many, many very, very beneficial books. From them, Al-Sharia. From them, Al-Sharia. And he is from those upright and pious and noble scholars who defended the Sunnah. And he is a narrator of hadith. And he collected many, many narrations in this book here, Al-Sharia, clarifying the correct creed and refuting the falsehood of the people of misguidance.
clarifying that iman, it is statement and action and deed. It is qawlun bil lisan wa i'tiqadun bil qalbi wa 'amalun bil jawarih wal arkan. Naam yazidu bi ta'ati ar-rahman wa yanqusu bi ta'ati ash-shaytan. He clarified all of this here in this book here. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, shari'ah. Ash-shari'ah lil imam al-ajurri, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And after him, there is another great imam, rahimahullahu ta'ala. These are our salaf as-salih. These are the righteous. And these are our role models. And these are the people that we want to know about and learn about and follow their way. And this great imam, his name is Abu al-Qasim. And they call him Hibatullah, Ibn al-Hassan. And he is known as Al-Lalaka'i. 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 He died in the year 418. Al-Lalaka'i. He has a wonderful book called Sharh Usul I'tiqadi Ahli Sunnati Wal Jama'ah. Sharh Usul I'tiqadi Ahli Sunnati Wal Jama'ah. This is one of those books that is named Al-I'tiqad. Al-I'tiqad. So there are books of creed that are entitled, as we have seen, As-Sunnah. Other books of creed that have been entitled As-Sharia. Even there are books of creed that are entitled Al-Iman, like Al-Iman by Ibn Abi Shayba, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And here we have Usul I'tiqad Ahli Sunnati wa Jama'ah, the foundation of the creed of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. He says here, let's listen to this title. Sharhu Usul I'tiqadi Ahli Sunnati wa Jama'ah min al-kitabi wa sunnati wa ijma' al-sahabati wa tabi'ina min ba'dihim. This is the explanation of the foundations of the creed of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah from the book and from the Sunnah and the consensus of the companions and the Tabi'een and those after them and what they were upon. This is just even in the title he's clarifying. Yani, this is where it comes from. Where does the usul and where does the creed of Al-Sunnah come from? From in al-kitabi. وَالسُنَّةِ وَإِجْمَاعِ الصَّحَابَةِ وَالتَّابِئِينَ وَمَنْ بَعْدَهُمْ. It comes from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah and that which the Sahaba agreed upon and the Tabi'een agreed upon. For those who agreed with them after them. In any case, this is a great, great, great book of creed. Many, many beautiful narrations from the companions and from those after them clarifying the creed and clarifying the correct position in faith and belief. Alhamdulillah. After that, the last book that we take today, it is also from those books that are named Aqidah. And this book is called Aqidatu al-Salafi Ashab al-Hadith. Aqidatu al-Salaf Ashab al-Hadith. The creed of the Salaf, the carriers of Hadith, the people of Hadith. Who are the Salaf? They're the people of Hadith. And this is also has another name called Ar-Risala fi i'tiqadi Ahli Sunnati wa Ashab al-Hadithi wa al-Aimmati. This is the book about the creed of the people of the Sunnah and the people of Hadith and the Imams of Hadith and the Imams of the Sunnah. And it is by a man, he's known as As-Sabuni. As-Sabuni. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he is Abu Uthman Ismail ibn Abdul Rahman. Abu Uthman Ismail ibn Abdul Rahman As-Sabuni. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he died in the year 449. If we look and we see in all of these books, some of them, they died early and some of them died later. Some of them were from Iraq and others from Egypt and others from this land and others from that land. Some of them lived in this generation. Some of them lived 100 years later. Others, they lived 200 years later and the likes like this. Some of them, they never met each other or they were never even alive in the same era together. But if we open these books up here, and if we begin to read the affairs of Aqidah and Creed, we will think, if we took the covers off, and somebody were to read each book, we will think that the same person wrote every book. It would be as if, this is a great point, pay attention please. It would be as if we read these books, and the books of the Salaf, I just mentioned a few of them. And the books of the Salaf with regards to this, especially Al-Kutub, Kutub Al-Aqaid, Al-Musnada. If we read them, from this one lived in 200, and this one lived in 400, this one lived in 300, this one lived in this era, this one in that era. If we look in all of them, and we read all of them, it's as if one person wrote them. It's as if the pen of one man wrote all of these books. If we were to read them out loud, it's as if the tongue that spoke, one tongue spoke them. If they all came from the same heart, that's what it would seem like. Why? Because they're all upon the same path. And they all have the exact same understanding. And because the truth is one. The truth is one, it's not different. So therefore the people of truth, they are gathered together. And there is not a clear evidence that the people of Hadith is upon the truth, except that if we look into their narrations and we look into their works all throughout history and from time, from different lands and from different generation, and we gather their works together and look at them, they're all in the same manner. And they are all in accordance in the same creed. And they all have the exact same belief. And this is an indication that they're all together upon the truth. Rahmatullahi alayhim. May Allah put us on their path. And may Allah grant us steadfastness upon the way of the Salaf al-Salih. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.